Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
My name is Pat.
And joining us today is Derek Knutson.
Hey, guys.
All right. So for anyone who does not recall Derek, I guarantee you've heard his name at least on the show before. If you've come to Fear the Con, there's a good chance you've met him in person. But he's a guy who's been a longtime booter, good friend of the community, handles the charity stuff at Fear the Con, which is one of the things he's going to talk about with us today. But he also has his own show that he's on over at the Established Facts, which is a part of Fear the Boot's non-network network, which is probably a network in every way, except for the fact that I keep insisting it's not a network.
It's just so you don't have to do like as much promotion or work or really anything.
Or come up with an aggregate feed or whatever. But you know, we're just like one big family. We just kind of share the same forums and don't really care. It's just like it's like a family bath.
What?
I don't know where we're going with this, but I can get on board.
I guess this is an only child not understanding thing.
All right, so Derek,
as long as there are stepsisters involved, then they're not by blood.
They've got to be stepsisters.
Exactly. Yeah. No incest.
No. Why is it?
I'm back, everybody.
Why is it that I think that Pat has this whole thing thought out, this whole scenario with the family bath thought out with plot lines and side hooks
in which,
and everything
in which
else?
Pat's like an orphan who gets adopted by a pornographic movie.
No, Pat's the daddy.
Oh.
Is this going to be in Sojourn 3?
It's very much it's very, yes, it will be. It's very much like the Brady Bunch, whereas I'm like little orphan Pat and I get hired, I get adopted into the all female Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Yes.
This is where having a good imagination is hurting me a lot.
And then I have to kill off dad because I have an Oedipal complex.
Yeah.
Then I become the man of
like,
the house.
Okay, so this is now kind of like Poison Ivy, except roll over. So Derek,
hi. Moving on.
You've got a heck of a bar to jump this year, which is outdoing soldier puppies.
Oh my God, I don't think it can be done.
So I want to hear, let's judge this. Let's hear and judge him.
Judge.
All right,
judge,
what please. Is the charity for Fear the Con this year? Let's see if we can one-up soldier puppies.
I think I can actually do it with just the title. The title of the charity is called Home of the Innocents.
This sounds like a Bob Arns game, but go on.
Okay. It is based in Louisville, and they provide support and housing for children who have been abused, abandoned, neglected. They also provide a hospital like Home Away from Home for medically fragile children. And they also provide in-home and school support services for children with autism.
So awesome. Disabled, dying, and abused children under one roof.
Yes.
Correct.
You are helping.
You won.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
You have succeeded.
Do they provide them with puppies?
If they were veterans, you would.
I'm sitting here just feeling guilty that I haven't heard of these people or supported them yet.
Why have I not already donated to them?
What am I doing with my life?
What kind of sinner am I?
You monster.
Exactly. And this is my point in life, and it's my point for Fear the Con is to bring this up and guilt people and have that yearly soussant of, you know, I am a horrible person. And that's what June is for Fear the Con.
Right. Yes. Because Jack Chick tried to guilt us. And we just don't take it seriously anymore. No. So now we need Derek to bring a more legitimate form of guilt that we can't really argue with.
That's right.
It is true. We have not yet saved all the veteran puppies or sick, dying, abandoned, and disabled children
in
Kentucky.
Yes.
These two objectives have not been met. Mm-hmm. I have not cast any spells from the DMG, unfortunately.
No.
But if I had, I could cast something to provide for them, but I can't, so we got to do money instead.
Like spider climb.
All right, so what do you got in mind for the charity? What are you doing, a charity auction this year? What do we got kicking?
We've got two things going. We've got a raffle.
Okay.
We've done for the past couple of years. And based on the forum results, people wanted more larger prizes instead of like what was last year, which was like a lot of smaller prizes in a bundle. So here is the final prize pack. I've had to scale it back from what I put in the forums just because of financial issues and so forth. But so there's going to be one prize, and it's going to include a Turtle Beach Air Force XP 510 Premium wireless gaming headset.
Wow.
a Roku 3 media player.
Cool.
I'm also including the mounting kit for your TV and an HDMI cable, and then the Xbox One adapter for the headset as well. But the headset itself can work with PS4, 3, Xbox 360, and you could, with this adapter, you can put it for the Xbox One as well.
Damn. So this year, we got a big prize, a little more drama than it, because it's going to be one draw, one person.
Yep.
All right, so people who are at the convention, you will be able to donate money either directly to Derek. If you cannot find him, we'll be sure to point him out at the various... You know,
he's
events.
Tall. He's easy to
find. Yeah, I mean, we'll point him out at the start of the events and such. Or if you can't find him, just find anybody. I mean, somebody who's like working the register up front, find one of the hosts. We'll make sure that you can find him.
We'll be like, hey, where's Derek? We'll be like, he's that nerd over there. Like, what?
And I'll be wearing a shirt that has Fear the Charity on it. And
cool.
Something we want to emphasize that we emphasize every year is that Fear the Boot is not taking any cut of this. Mm-hmm. This is straight from you to Derek to the charity. We don't do some BS like, you know, administrative fees.
neither do I. 100% of the money collected, it goes to the charity itself.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to win this year. I haven't won in past years. I have a lot of guilt, and I have a burning heat for
You've
a new
You've been saving
headset.
Up that guilt for 3 years.
I know. It's so oppressive, and I really want a new gaming headset.
Now, Derek,
yes.
for people at home, obviously we can't really conduct the auction, you know, online as easily, but for the people at home, even if they can't come to FearlyCon and be part of the auction, which they should be doing, let's just say there is such a theoretical person out there who does fit the mold of how Jack Chick describes role player, and they don't come to FearlyCon, is there like a PayPal address or something, or some way they can get in touch with you to donate to this just because of the fact that's a good cause and, quite frankly, worth donating to? Whether you're getting something or not.
Absolutely. FearTheCharity.org has this year's as well as last year's charities. You can go there and donate directly to them. Any amount will be appreciated by the organization, of course. And I've done my vetting with this. They say that they donate 87 cents for every dollar that they get in. So I make sure that the charities are legit and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And just one additional thing, as with last year, I will also be able to accept credit cards. So with a Square Reader. So not only cash, but credit as well.
Yeah, we need to get one of those for ourselves too. I know that's one of our projects, to get the Square Readers, because those things make things so much more convenient.
Actually, if you want a Square Reader, I have one and Carla has one as well.
Okay.
We'll talk about this offline. Okay. All right. But
no, we're going to have a business meeting.
Okay, right now.
Let's talk financials.
Buckle up, fans. It's time for planning.
Oh, you know they're going to love it. They're going to love it. It's like an actual play of planning.
Of administrivia.
Let's do analysis paralysis here.
Oh, my God.
About the ups.
Should we get red cups or yellow cups?
And what if someone accuses us of credit card fraud? So we shouldn't take credit cards off the fingerprint. God. But then, all right, anyway.
Swallow my tongue.
So
is Fear the Boot PCI compliant?
No,
if you're using Square, then yes, you are PCI compliant.
And FearTheCon.com is also PCI compliant, if you actually want to know.
Fear the Boot forums are not.
No. Well, we also don't take credit cards on there, so it's irrelevant.
But we do take, it's for credit cards.
But FearTheCon.com, the portion on there where you pay is PCI compliant. Cool. I don't remember if it's the PADSS or what exactly the standard is we're compliant to.
Oh my God, we're such IT nerds.
Dude, this is what I did for a living for 2.5 years. For anyone who's not following, PCI is Payment Card Interface Compliance. So PCI stands for Payment Card Interface. Basically, if you take a credit card, this is what MasterCard and Visa and such say you have to conform to in terms of protecting the card numbers and such. And if you don't follow their rules, then you're liable for $10,000 per instance of credit card accusation for a fraud.
Yeah.
So it's
pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy duty. So if you're taking credit cards, you need to be sure you're doing it right.
And, I ran a PCI farm for about a year. It was pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Okay. So let's talk about something role playing related other than PCI compliant.
Actually, I've got one more thing.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead then.
I'm also running an all-nighter dungeon crawl. Remember back when we were kids and we actually had like enough stamina to go overnight. So it's going to be a dungeon crawl, Pathfinder, and if your character or you, I should say, if you as a player can survive the entire night, then you get a $50 card. And then you as players are going to get donations, like basically sponsoring you as a player. And if you get the most donations, then you also get a $50 card. And if you get the most number of people to donate to you, then you'll get a $50 card.
Should let them buy. Like, for example, maybe you have like little tickets for like a cure light potion or something like that, or a spell scroll. Yeah. And like if somebody donates like $20 to your charity.
Oh my God, it could be like the Hunger Games.
I was just thinking of that.
Exactly. That would be awesome.
And so somebody can be like, okay, so I'm going to put in like,
I'm your sponsor.
I'm going to put in $20 anonymously or whatever, you know, but they don't know. So I'm putting right. $20 and like at the 3 hour mark, regardless of what's happening, I want this player to find a cure light potion, and it has comes out in a little parachute.
I must save Katniss.
And it has the name of the donor on it.
Oh my God, that's an awesome idea. Yes. I'm going to do that on Friday. So that'll be a Friday activity.
This is going to be, all right, so when is the game now? So if we do
Friday night.
So it's Friday night. Okay, so people have during the wing night and on Friday to decide who they're going to sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Actually, they've got to announce this at wing night and then again at the beginning of the con.
Oh, absolutely. So,
they have to solicit sponsors.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And I've got 3 people now, and I need an additional 3 people to actually be players in this. So if you're brave.
I know one of the players that you've got in it already.
Yeah, Adam.
Other than that.
He knows two
Josh,
now.
And
3, you know the whole group.
Wait a minute. Are you knowing somebody that I don't know is in this?
Well, I'm pretty sure Beth's playing it, is the last I heard.
Is she?
I did not know that.
I didn't know who was running it. She's like, I'm going to do this dungeon crawl all night. So
then that would be.
Well, maybe she wants to, but she hasn't signed up yet.
That could be it.
Beth talks a big game.
No. I think for us, it's a matter of she wants to do it, but what are we going to do with the kids? I think we have that figured out now. We're just going to let them stay at home alone.
Yeah.
Duncan 7. Make sure that alcohol door is open. Make sure the bottles are uncapped.
That's right.
You know, it's just like,
yeah. I don't have to worry about that with my kid. I actually, last night was Cinco de Mayo, and I won't go into everything, but let's just say that.
But he goes into a lot of things.
I had a hurricane glass from Buca de Beppa that I got there, and it was full of margarita 3 different times. And then it was empty, and it was wonderful. And at one point, Connor came into the kitchen and goes, he likes to drink the tea that I drink out of my cup. And I'm like, yeah, I want Daddy's drink. And I'm like, here you go. And I handed him the margarita. He didn't even take it. I'm like, no, I don't want that. And I'm like, good boy.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yes. So, no, he doesn't drink it. But
kids are.
I was mowing with a margarita in hand last night. I was celebrating very, very well.
Kids are surprisingly adverse to alcohol. Like, Sky is always like, he's like, Daddy, I want some dinner. And I'm like, well, you want a beer and a cigarette? And he's like, no, I don't want those things.
That was what kept me from drinking as a kid, was my parents demystified the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember my exact age, but they had a bottle of wine. My parents never had much alcohol, typically none ever around at all. But they had a bottle of wine for something. And, you know, I looked like, oh, can we try some? My dad's like, yeah, you're not going to like it, but absolutely.
Yeah,
and
totally.
So he poured us each a little, very small amount of wine. All of us tried it. All of us hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried a beer at a relatively young age. And as a result, when it came to like high school, someone's like, hey, you want a beer? There was no peer. It's like, no, gross. I don't. I've had one before. It's really not that exciting and it doesn't taste that good.
You were lucky that your first experience was with wine. That's light compared to mine.
Yeah.
My parents had a party once and I was like, oh, I want to try this. And, you know, because I hear about it. So my dad's like, sure, here you go. He poured me a small, not even a finger, like a fingernail of scotch.
Oh, no.
I had scotch and I'm like, I took a drink of it and I'm like, it burned. So yeah, I was like, alcohol, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle did the same thing. This is years later with chewing tobacco.
Oh,
he chewed, you know, the plug tobacco.
Where you'd take a cut off of it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he would just, it was wrapped in cellophane. He'd bite it off. He wouldn't cut off. He'd bite it off. And I'm like, I want one because they kept it in the refrigerator to keep it cold. And I'm like,
hey, you see adults doing it.
He does all the time. It's my Uncle Irv. I'm like, I want to be like Uncle Irv. So I said, can I have some tobacco? And he goes, of course you can. He gave me my own plug.
Of course you can, you dumb shit.
He said, I took it. And I said, I took it. I did just what he did. I unwrapped it and I took a bite out of it. And I chewed for a few minutes and I turned green. I don't think I threw up, but I turned green and like spit it out. Never have I touched tobacco again.
No.
Nor will I ever.
At least you knew to spit and not swallow that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I mean, that's what he did. I watched, you know, he always had a spit can, which is extremely disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
So I knew exactly what to do, but I'm like, just the taste of it alone, just having it in my mouth, I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, and scotch and tobacco.
And
that's what you do. You know, just, yeah. So yeah. But John, that's the way, demystifying it. Just let them have it. If he said no, you can't have it. And then that's what they're
doing. Well, when you say no, 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 they want it more.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Sky didn't even.
I'm not going to go there.
Sky didn't even ask for it, right?
You already went there in your mind.
Yes, I did. I just can't stand on the bikes.
So Sky doesn't even like ask for it, right? I mean, he's never asked if he can have a sip of daddy's beer or whatever. I just offer it up. Coffee the same way. Daddy, I want some breakfast. You want some coffee and cigarettes? Ew! Yep. No!
Where would you even get it? You don't smoke.
Yeah, neither Don nor I smoke. I knew he would turn it down. Thank God he didn't call my bluff. See, that's the thing about little kids, is that they're kind of dumb. And so, as long as you know, they won't call your bluff. Yeah.
I'm going to try to keep this as apolitical as I can. Mm-hmm. But like right now, there's talk within the U.S., and I don't know how serious this is going to get, about lowering the drinking age to 18, which I don't know. I think it's going to be an uphill battle. But I
think pot will get legalized before that.
Yeah, which is kind of strange. But
you know, here's something that
who's got a better union. I'm not a better union. Who's
better
got
lobbyist.
A better lobbyist.
But yeah, but the point being, though, that I kind of always wonder if that. You know, for example, I don't want to get into a big U.S. versus America thing, or U.S. versus America.
There's America, and then there's the United States.
That did happen once.
Once, and we're like, never again.
U.S. versus Europe thing, but in many European countries, they have a lower drinking age than America, and many of them do not have the same binge drinking problem that certain parts of America, and it's like America's drunk from coast to coast, but...
Here's the thing that I don't understand, because we brought up, like, you know, I said, well, I'd expect pot to get legalized before 18 drinking age. Here's the thing that I don't understand about pot, right? Now, I don't smoke it. I admit I'm a really boring guy. But there's a big push, huge amounts of legislation, huge amounts of social pressure that has nothing to do with law or politics or anything to stop smoking. But we're legalizing smoking something else.
Yes.
I know that there's, the filters on tobacco is really bad, and they put all kind of additives into tobacco, and that's really horrible. But still, you're breathing smoke into your lungs. Isn't that inherently...
Yeah, well, and I know the law.
I mean, I know that there's going to be a lot of people...
The science is... I don't know how well I trust the science reports of this. They say that it's less harmful than tobacco smoke. But no,
I don't have a problem with pot. I wish pot was legal.
Well, I can imagine if you had weed, you'd smoke two packs a day of it.
Reason it's more, the studies were probably true, and the reason for that is that your pot smokers aren't, the pot smokers, they're not going to smoke as much pot as cigarette smokers smoke tobacco, because look at that. You've got, like you just said, Dan, you've got people that are two pack a day habit. If you smoke two packs of marijuana a day, you never wake up. I mean, that's you can't smoke that much. So just the amount that you're going to take in isn't. And I think, though,
Snoop Dogg's
from what you're saying,
is that a challenge?
Yes, exactly. But I think from what you're saying,
Snoop Dogg listens to Fear the Boot.
The interesting thing, though, is that what you're talking about there is, yes, we shouldn't smoke because of the cancer and whatever else like that. But to me, it's more of.
Yeah.
It's the legalization. Like, because right now smoking marijuana is illegal and you can go to prison for it. As opposed to if you smoke, you can smoke all the tobacco you want. It's legal to do it. It's a difference between legalizing and should you do it or not for your health reasons.
For me, it's like it's the social dichotomy. It isn't about the politics or the law or anything like that. I really don't care because, again, I don't smoke and I don't have a problem with people who do. And I think it should be legalized.
Exactly. But I do, too.
Colorado right now is trying to find ways of stemming down like the tide of people that are getting high.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're like going after the edibles and
Because Colorado doesn't like money. Like, whoa, we hate all these tourists that are coming and spending money here.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. And the tax revenues that they're generating off of this is insane.
And that's what I've said. I've always been pro legalizing marijuana because, well, first of all, it's much less dangerous and or detrimental drug than alcohol. Mm-hmm. Alcohol has been legal since before and then after prohibition. It's not an illegal thing. And alcohol is a far more dangerous substance.
Let me throw out one other thing similar to this from the other end of the political spectrum. And then I want to, there's a way I think it ties back to gaming, believe it or not.
Awesome.
If you can do that, that would be great.
Yes. All right. But from the opposite of the political spectrum, Chad and I both went together some years back to get our concealed carry licenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we went, the guy that was teaching the course said that that was the advice he gave about people that have both firearms and children in the household. And this is what he himself does as mm-hmm. a parent. Is he does not allow the firearms to have any amount of mystery to them.
Right.
He said that he told his kids, if you ever touch them and I'm not around, mm-hmm. you know,
it's wrath of God.
Wrath of God type thing. He said, but if you ever want to look at them or whatever, you come find me. And no matter what I'm doing, mm-hmm. I will supervise you know, looking at the firearm. And he said his kids tested on him a few times where like he was in the middle mowing the lawn and they'd come out and say, Daddy, I want to see, you know, whatever. And he would do it. And he said, as a result, his kids grew up with no infatuation. Mm-hmm. They weren't digging around in the drawers, you know, because now
they didn't have like a super interest in it or
Here's the thing. Let me pulse back because we need
to talk about more politics. In fact, let's talk about religion.
We're not talking about politics, though, really. We're just talking about
shit. Yeah, this is more of a social thing.
Well, I'm not going into what side of the aisle is for. To me, it's just an issue of we should.
But here's the thing. I
believe a chicken in every pot and a cap in every ass.
One of the wisest things said by
Family Guy.
It was Family Guy. Yeah, actually, this goes back to the whole Europe and U.S. thing. Mm-hmm. I was talking on the Twitch game last week for Rome 2, and I was just kind of freewheeling random topics, and I was asking, like, okay, so do you guys know who the most popular American is according to surveys that were done across Europe? Mm-hmm. Who is the most popular American? And people had a bunch of random guesses. The answer is Homer Simpson. The most popular American is Homer Simpson. Mm. Here's what I want to ask back to gaming. All right, because I realize some people listening to that, especially if we hit on one of your major axes to grind, because you're really pro or anti any of the things we just listed.
All commentary to Pat at FearTheBoot.com.
That's right.
Perfect.
But I realize this is probably the most political we've ever gotten on our show and probably more political than we should have, even though we're only kind of, you know, nudging the topics. But here's how I want to draw us back to role-playing. If you look both within the hobby of role-playing games and outside of the hobby of role-playing games, one of the big issues that I think surrounds this hobby that helped feed the moral panic of the 1980s, and even though moral panics over a lot of the social stigma still exists, about tabletop and gaming, and even within tabletop gaming, because tabletop gamers have this, you know, the things about LARPers and so on and so forth, is
people aren't smoking enough weed. They just really need to chill out.
Exactly. If everyone had a gat and a blunt. But no, it's the fact that there is this level of mystery to the whole thing.
Right.
Let's go back to the 1980s. People, you watch these crazy videos and commercials and these books and pamphlets by Jack
Tom Hanks movie.
Pulling or whatever. And you hear all of these just crazy things about what they thought gaming was and mm-hmm. what went on at a gaming table. And occasionally look at these stories where some parent during that time period will say, well, they had to go investigate for themselves and watch the goats being killed for Satan and ritual suicides, whatever, and were baffled by how absolutely unprovocative the entire experience was. Yeah. You know, it's a bunch of guys sitting around doing math and telling stories.
They obviously did not go watch any of Chris's games.
That may be true.
And that's a good thing, because had they...
But I still think you have that thing today, because you talked to a lot of people. You know, let's take my brother-in-law, Adam, mm-hmm. he's
super nice guy. One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Quite frankly, maybe the nicest guy I've ever met. But he is big into storytelling. Mm-hmm. He loves writing. He loves creativity. He loves role-playing games now. But when I first met him, you know, he was not into role-playing games. He was asking me, because he's such a nice guy, he's like, mm-hmm. what is a role-playing game? So rather than judge, he's going to find out. So I explained it to him. He's like, that sounds really cool. And when I started to get to know him better, I'm like, okay, this really fits you. Why have you never tried this before? And his answer to me is, well, I've just basically figured it's a bunch of maladjusted teens sitting around their parents' basement wearing capes and pointy hats and arguing about
good old days, man.
Oh, I know. I love it. Man.
I miss my pointy hat.
And arguing.
Wade still has his.
I know.
And arguing about life. whose wizard is more powerful.
And he's still got his fangs.
Yeah. And, but the first Lucky time bastard. I actually brought in Adam and had him sit down and play a role-playing game with me. So
he was like, you nerds.
He put on his cape and his wizard hat, and he and I got in a fist fight over whose sorcerer is more powerful.
Yes.
But, you know, it's that same kind of thing. When we were talking about all that LARP stuff, and we really kind of got on a bent on that for a little while, and we had a bunch of people from the LARPing community reach out to us, and some people sent me some Mind's Eye Theater books, and we had people that came onto the LARPing roundtable with us, and we got invited to some LARP events. Unfortunately, we're not local, so we really didn't have any way of going to them, but we got invited to some big LARP gatherings, you know, in other places and such. And all of a sudden, that level of mystery, that stigma starts to fall away, because once you actually see what's going on, and sure, you can just, I guess, draw the...
There are going to be people that are going to fill those bad stereotypes, but they're few, far in between.
That's true of any stereotype.
Yeah. And it is possible you'd be like, well, I'm going to see what this LARP thing's all about. And you go, and they are killing goats and making suicide pacts.
Why
and
would you kill a goat? Why not a lamb? Because they're delicious.
Goat's See,
not
now
bad.
That's a whole other issue, though.
Goat's not really bad. If you put in a nice curry, then it's...
I'd rather do lamb. I'm a big lamb guy myself. That's what I sacrifice.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, this is perhaps why lamb sacrificing is not as vogue as it used to be. The process doesn't end with a euro.
No, it doesn't.
It's not like we're going to sacrifice this lamb to Baphomet or whatever and then make a euro.
No, we're going to sacrifice the lamb to Baphomet to make a nice vindaloo.
Yeah.
It's like a lamb, a vindaloo.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody wants to join my cult.
Right.
My cult's delicious, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have
like... That's your new slogan, my cult is delicious.
You know, around Lent, we get all these places around here doing fish fries, but you never see anyone out there with like a lamb just kind of fully rotating on a spit. And they're making vindaloo or they're cutting off pieces for a euro. And this is why I'm not in those cults.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Did you just call the Catholic Church a cult?
No, actually, I was referring to...
Because you were like fish fries and...
No. I was talking about Baphomet. I don't think the Catholic Church...
I was confused because like he said, well, instead of fish fries, you could have people with lamb. I'm like,
oh, instead of fish fries. I thought you said in your
like,
fish
wait a minute,
fries
though,
and your
they
lamb.
They can't eat meat. They have to eat fish.
No. I'm talking about this is how you... This is like, look, you want to get me to pull over?
Oh, my God. We totally went into religion
we
for
did.
Politics. Yes.
Did we hit all the three?
Yes.
Wait, sorry. Hold on.
Kicked in the dice bags.
Nice.
Kicked in the dice bags.
But no, I mean, like, for example, there's this, I think it's a General Baptist church on one of the back roads that I sometimes take coming home.
No, wait, what's our scorecard?
Well, I know, I'm
Catholic Church is a cult, okay. We have a lot of guns.
But
we want to give children pot. All right.
But they have these fish fries throughout Lent, despite the fact that they're General Baptist. Now,
fried fish is good.
Right. Well, and I presume the reason is you're driving home, you see free fish fry. Well, you pull over, you get to talking to the people, and, you know, maybe they kind of get talking to you and tell you about God, whatever it is. I don't know. I've never pulled over.
It's wonderful marketing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Point being, it's community outreach marketing, whatever you want to see it as. But, you know, I've never pulled over. But, like, if I drove by and it was like Baphomet, free euro.
Oh,
I'd be like, pull over.
Yeah, like, I gotta see what this is all about, and I'm gonna get a euro.
That's right.
I mean, if
everybody's got fish fries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you've got a euro and all I've got to do is listen to about 5 minutes of Baphomet talk, which actually would be kind of interesting.
I'm curious to hear about Baphomet and how peachy it affects my life.
Right. But
here's the question. Is the euro worth 10 minutes of listening to people's characters?
Ooh. No.
Why do you think we try to move the line so quickly?
Do they have beer?
Dude, I need a hard liquor because wouldn't kick in fast enough. Beer takes too long.
Yeah.
But why do you think we keep the food line moving so fast at Fear the Con? there's no congregating point there where
That's
you're
right.
stuck waiting for Stacy to finish something for you and the guy next to you starts in about his wizard.
Mm-hmm. That is a great thing about buffets during weeknight is that you don't have to be there and serve people's food and they can talk to each other about
That's
their
right.
characters.
Right, right. Look,
you don't have to listen.
If people enjoy those things, we're not here to stop them. we just don't care to be part of it.
We're mm-hmm. just going to look down on that.
Well, this year we should do a really big charity auction because apparently Eddie Webb really, really like freaks out at people talking to him about his character.
Really?
And so I want to see if I can get him to be like, okay, if we can reach a certain threshold on a charity, for you will listen to somebody of our selection just rambling for 15 minutes on their about their character.
See, I don't mind it when people like Wayne and I stuff. I don't mind when people come up to me and talk about their character. I just look at them and I smile. And in my head, I'm thinking about that family path situation with my stepsister.
You're like Homer Simpson when he was listening to Ned Flanders talk with the apple cider. Just a little slide whistle noise. And your brain just zoop out of your body.
I nod and I smile and I laugh in the appropriate places.
Okay. I have that reaction a lot.
That's exactly what I'm doing whenever I'm talking to you people at Fear the Con.
You, what do you mean? You people.
The international community has judged it a torture if you have to listen to people talk about the character.
According to the Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think that they do in those black sites? They
That's right.
Ship gamers in there and have them talk about their character.
Why do you think there's always at least one plane departing Indianapolis for The Hague every year after Gen Con? Mm-hmm.
I need to counterpoint this. I need to bring balance to the force here. Have you heard a good gamer story? I don't mean, I know this guy. Oh, I was in a group with him or something like that. Because that's what kills the gaming story is that you have zero context and zero buy-in. And this person who's telling you the story has all the context and all the buy-in and they're really excited.
Specifically a character story? No. I have had people tell me some gaming stories where they were either talking about the plot of the game or the table side interaction, and they got my attention because they were good storytellers. It's what a lot of people said. The reason that so many gaming stories are bad is because the storyteller is not good at entertaining the audience. I will say that I have seen some people who are good storytellers who have told some gaming stories, and I've been enraptured. You know, they really got my attention. I cannot recall a single person ever telling me a character story that went beyond 30-second concept. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was playing this one game, and I wondered what would happen if I played a character who was kind of like this. Like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Hmm. That's as far as I've ever gotten with anyone holding my interest.
Me too, no. I haven't heard any stories, I should say, that kept my attention. Because for the person, that's good. I mean, you know, they went through it. They have a connection to it. But as far as keeping my attention, no, I haven't.
What about you, Pat?
Oh, are you kidding? Every gaming story here is f***ing fantastic. And I just told you why a few minutes ago.
It's family bath.
So I had a character, you know, my character's name was, and he was 18th level, and I'm like, bath time. And the music starts playing.
Sudsy.
The 70s music starts playing, and then I have a porn in my head, and it's fantastic.
And then you put your...
So please, I implore you, please tell me your gaming stories.
You put your hand on the person's shoulder.
I want to hear them, yes, and I do.
And you're just like staring.
When it's getting really good, I actually do. I put a hand on the shoulder, and I'm like, I lean in a little bit. I'm like, yes. Oh, yes.
And if Pat's
so this is your night every night.
Pat, and it's like my eyes glass over. And yeah.
And you're there.
I love gaming stories. God, I love them so much.
Pat has just turned gaming stories into a sex crime.
Yes. Yes.
Which I suppose he's the man for the job.
I
am. Who else is going to do it? I mean, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, but all right, but back, you have a topic.
What?
Yes.
What?
Demystify.
Politics? Religion?
Demystifying Baphomet.
Sex?
Demystifying Baphomet so he'll vote for the Euro party.
No, he, she, it, them.
Them, yeah. Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. He's got a cute little
I got to drop my heteronormative politics
That's
here.
Right. That's
all right, but the point being...
Oh my God.
Baphomet is beyond gender and politics. Yeah,
all right. So before I make this another negative episode, for anyone who doesn't know what a negative episode is, there's somebody on the show once who I let in on a secret. I don't think this ever made it to the air, which is there's actually another kind of episode called a negative episode that we just number backwards, -1, -2, -3, nice. Which are shows we don't release.
Yeah.
Because they went so far gone that it's
how many shows do we have that we have but we have not released? I mean, not like...
I believe...
Like 10 minutes two. In,
there
somebody...
There are three negative episodes. The first one, I don't even have a copy of. The next one, I can't release because it was a back reward in John's Goblin Kickstarter.
Yeah, I was on
And then the next one... I think I'm just sitting on it and have never released, to the best of my knowledge. Maybe I did. If I did, it was a forum-only release, like I linked off the forums. Mm. There's no way I would have put it in the feed. Mm. Because here's a way we can tell. If anyone in the audience remembers a story about Brodor smacking somebody with vomit, then I've released it. If not, it's still sitting in the negative
that
can.
That is a great story.
I was not on that one.
That was a great story.
That's true love.
Yeah.
That is true love.
There's the test. If you guys in the audience have heard the story about Brodor slapping somebody with vomit, then I've released it.
I was on that one. I remember that.
If not, then it's still sitting in the negative episode.
So this is going to be released in the director's cut?
If I release it, it will only be a direct link off the forums. The negative episodes, even the ones I would release, will never be off through the main feed, because we do know there are people that listen to our episode with mixed audiences. They play them in their gaming stores or whatever, and I do not want to blindside them with
about demystifying things here.
That's true. Brodor had experiences that we need to be demystifying. You know what? He's the general manager for a chain of game stores that might play Fear the Boot over its speakers. Maybe his employees need their general manager demystified.
They feel
he's more approachable if they understood his open door policies.
Oh, my.
So, Mike, if that bothers you, chris@feartheboot.com.
It's all his idea.
I should need to get him back on the show.
Yes.
Chris or Brodor?
Brodor. Chris is probably on the next episode. Yeah. So anyway, all right. I do think as poignant as this episode has been, we're going to wrap this one up here. But thank you guys for tuning in next week.
One more thing?
Sure.
I'm running Fear the Con, and I just wanted to...
Did he just say he's running Fear the Con?
He is running Fear the Con.
Son of a bitch.
Wow.
I've been moved out.
I took it over. The Established Facts is now taking over Fear the
Con. Amazing.
Wow.
I didn't get that
Fear
memo.
The Established Facts.
Okay, anyways, I'm running several games at Fear the Con. I still have open slots. Check them out. One of them, which is the third part of the fighting game series that I ran the last two times. One is a Fear the Boot mystery, What's Behind the Mask. So I take the hosts and I change their characters up a little bit humorously.
Change my gender. That's what I want. I want gender swap.
Well, you're
all right, so we'll make
you
a man,
essentially. So
make me Batwoman or
yeah,
girl.
I'll make you
I don't care. I've always wanted to be a redhead.
And
there's a reason. I'll still get chicks.
There's a reason. There's no gorilla woman.
We have Schools Out for Good, which is a 70s type of like horrible super friends type adventure. And then Siege, which is one group of players tries to siege the castle that's defended by another group of players. So
cool. Interesting.
So, yeah, please check those out. And please contact me about joining that all-nighter dungeon crawl.
Yeah. And you'll find all this good stuff at fearthecon.com, of course. And we hope to see you guys all there.
And if this all goes off how we talked about, I will be taking solicitations for the Hunger Games prize drops in the dungeon crawl.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That is totally happening now.
The best in there, I will send her something. I will decide what.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week. Great games. Great weed, great guns, great Baphomet Euros, and we will catch you next time.
A Baphomet Euro in every pot and a blunt in every hand.
Hell yeah.
See ya.